Oh yeah, I've divided myself from humans.
Is that final puff puff? Pass me Dutchie, my friends.
Yay!
Cognitive cannabis.
Yo, yo, what's going on, ladies and gents? Another episode of Cognitive Cannabis with your boy B-Mur and my man's A-Pizzle.
Yee-yee.
You already know what it is, man. Super excited to be here, talk to you guys, and share some insight on cannabis, as always.
Yes,
so, yeah, we're gonna dive right in. Today, we really want to talk about our judicial system and the justice being served in relation to marijuana. So just a little background information on everything and in relation to marijuana and our justice system and our political system and all that. In 2016, during the election, more people voted for marijuana, pro-marijuana, than they did for Donald Trump. All right, now AP is going to give you a little more information and what that means and some of the things that created as far as what we vote on and stuff like that.
I mean, you know, just being in the business and being under Prop 215, as a business, I'm in the business, I've always known that Prop 64 was, I don't know how to say it, but they didn't present all the facts that surrounded around Prop 64. All right, so Prop 64 pretty much says, you know, adult use 25 and older, you can purchase marijuana, and you also can grow a certain amount of marijuana at your home, amongst other things, right? But being under Prop 215, you know, you need a medical rec. At 18, you can purchase marijuana if you have your medical card. And there's no sales tax. Tax is very minimum. With Prop 64, there's three taxes that you have to pay as a user and as a business. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, what are taxes? We know what taxes are, right? You know, they allow this pretty much us doing business and pretty much the government saying like, hey, yo, we're allowing you to do business. Give me some of that, you know, but Prop 215 kind of course you had to pay some taxes, but it wasn't that steep. So there was a story or a situation that happened in my business a week ago where there was an 18-year-old girl. She had chemotherapy. She was going into chemotherapy 3 hours after she called me, and she was saying that she was looking for a place that offered medical cannabis, and she was like, nobody can give it to me because I have to be 21. And I'm like, wait, no, you're still under Prop 215. I mean, you have your medical record. I mean, well, we are. She was like, so you only have to be 18. She was like, thank God, like, I need something for my nausea. Like, mm-hmm. I really do. And she was like, yo, could you come in and could you bring me some of that? Like, of course I can.
Yeah.
Another situation where an 18-year-old has chronic pain, called every dispensary, couldn't get it because everybody is under that Prop 64.
Yeah.
And so I'm smart enough to know how to do it. So I have a business as Prop 215 and I have a business as Prop 64.
Right.
A lot of people are rolling over their Prop 215 into 64.
Right.
Which waives their right as Prop 215. So when you're doing that, then all of these people who are 18 and 18, you know, don't have access to medical marijuana. So Prop 64 is killing the business. You know what I mean? It allows all these big time players to come in and kind of control the market, you know, and it's not really for medical purposes at all, as we can see with the story that I gave you about, you know, the girl with the going into chemotherapy, and she couldn't find a dispensary. So I feel like in the Bay Area. So I feel like people were definitely misinformed about Prop 64. But what people don't know is that Prop 215 can't be abolished. You know, it's voted in by the people, so you have to vote it out by the people. So even businesses and people who are in a business are misinformed. And I think later on, eventually, you know, everybody will start coming to their senses about, you know, what this really is. But Prop 64, you know, I was all against it. And I was even promoting not voting for Prop 64 just because I knew exactly what it would do, you know, in terms of tax-wise.
Before we started, you had mentioned that the reason why it was like this with the Prop 64 was what? What was the term you told me? You said it, they're doing it to keep tabs.
Oh, yeah, to keep tabs on. So, thank you, bro. So, what within Prop 64, and you didn't have to do this at Prop 215, they have seed to sale. So, meaning that if you're growing marijuana, there's a technology or a gadget or something that you have to use right when you put a seed in the ground. Mm-hmm. And it tracks it all the way until your crop and to the sale. If there is any discrepancies, they're coming.
Yeah.
Inventory is tracked. All of that has to be accounted for, or they're coming. Your location of your commercial cannabis business, where all your inventory is, everything is listed publicly online. So it just opens the floodgates for all these, you know, criminals or whatever you want to call it, you know, to where the business and people who are in the business are fucking at risk. And then now they're controlled. You know what I mean? Because like I was saying to you earlier, like, let's say the feds feel a certain way. All they got to do is look online, go to this place, call this place, and it's federally illegal. So, boom, they can go raid them. You know what I mean? It's just keeping tabs, and it's horrible, bro. It's terrible.
So speaking of that and the whole, like you said, the feds raiding and things like that, I've done quite a bit of research just on the justice system and, you know, how what you were talking about affects a lot of people in that regard. There's a man named Noah Kleinman. He was a dispensary owner. And pretty much what happened with this cat is feds came after him and they got all of his friends, they got all of his buddies and pretty much told him, like, look, you either going to work alongside with us, helping us take down your friend, or you going to go down and you're going to be just as responsible as him. Wow. So, you know, they tapped his phones and, you know, his friends became informants. So literally every ounce, gram, pound he was moving, anything he was moving, they had documented.
That's crazy.
Yep. Wow. So, you know, his whole circle pretty much testified against him. And he ends up with 17 years. He won't be released until 2030.
Wow, man.
So, you know, I hear stories like that, and I have another one that we'll get into in a minute. And I hear stories like that, and it really kind of turns my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It really turns my stomach because we were talking.
Okay.
I thought I was just tripping for a second. Okay. Another story that I have found. This one's kind of crazy too. And we should talk about how. We will talk about. Is the how unfair our justice system is in regard to different demographics and the people who are being put in the prisons and things like that. A lot of that plays into it too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like marijuana's fault, like that, you know, but it's kind of the way things are set up in our justice system right now is why we're having these issues. But we'll get into that in a minute. I just want to tell one more little story. Another person, Crystal Munoz. She was pregnant at this time. She had some friends. I'm not even going to call them friends. Some acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
They were serving time. They got busted selling pot, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. they're about to serve their time, and you know, the DA comes to him and says, "Hey, check this out. If you give us some names, we might be able to get your
again."
You know what I mean?
Damn.
We might be able to get you. You know, like it's grimy out here. Like, it's crazy. Like, why? I'm not even gonna get into it, but like the fact that they're willing to do that to snake some more people into going to, you know what I mean, going away. So it gets crazier. So her friends decide to, or her acquaintances decide to rat on her, and this is how they convicted her. This is how they got evidence in that she was involved in moving this dope around. The girls told the police that that the reason they were able to navigate through this area that where the weed was being sold was because she knew the roads, the back roads, and how to get around and stuff because she grew up there. So they go to her house and say, "Hey, would you mind coming down to the station? You know, you're not in trouble. We just want to ask you a few questions." So she's like, "Yeah." So she goes down and they ask her, like, "Hey, can you draw this area and the back roads and blah, blah, blah?" She's like, "Definitely." She draws it. They use the map that she drew against her in court, and that's how they convicted her. And she got 19 years and 11 months.
And she was pregnant?
And she was pregnant. She was shackled while she was giving birth. You know what I mean? And it's so crazy because it's so harmless, and we're putting these people away. Now, we know that there is a problem with the crowding in our prisons, and we're putting people away for 17 years, 19 years for some marijuana. Now, if you're listening and you've smoked weed before, whether it was once or a billion times, like, you know how ridiculous this is. You know how ridiculous this is, especially with all the other scheduled drugs, right, that we have, like crack cocaine, this LSD. Whole lean epidemic. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, there's so many dangerous drugs that are, like, really causing people to get messed up on them and do harm to themselves, to other people, and things like that.
And these are elements that are synthetic, you know what I mean? Like, that all these Schedule One drugs are, like, created. They're created with synthetic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So it's fake. You know what I mean? It's man-made. Marijuana is literally from, you know what I mean? So just that right there, that comparison or, you know, the decomparison or whatever, is self-explanatory right there. Mm-hmm. Anything that comes from the earth is, I mean, for me, it's good for, is, I mean, it hasn't killed, it don't really kill you, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's what I feel like in terms of, like, plants and earth. If it comes from the earth and it's known for us to eat, it doesn't kill you. It enhances.
Yeah.
You know, or it supports, you know, your system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and this is a kid, bro, in the fifth grade. Knows this, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it's even if they let anybody who's uneducated would know, like, the difference. You know what I mean? It's cold, man.
It's the, and we know what it is.
We do.
It's that, it's the war on drugs, really. Like, the more I'm starting to learn, is like, man, the war on drugs is really still kicking our ass. And that's kind of the only reason why I even brought up
100%.
You know, the voting with Trump and things like that, because, you know, Trump has been so back and forth on his support and on, you know, how he's handling marijuana. You know what I mean? And honestly, it's another war on drugs. It's a war. He's declared another war on drugs pretty much.
No, for real.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, people, there was stories I was reading. There's like 90-something-year-old, these men that are in prison, and they're handicapped, and, like, you know what I mean? It's like, and they have, like, some program where you could be released when you're just, like, at your tail end, you know what I mean? And they can release you, and it's just too much to take care of you in the prison. And it's like, why hasn't he taken the time to free up that space and just take out, okay, your last conviction was a marijuana. You've been in prison for 20 years for marijuana.
Right.
Let's get you out of there.
Right, right.
Free up that, you know.
Right. And I think the code memo, which we talked about a little bit, you know, that was like one, like, line of defense of where it's like, all right, the war on drugs is a little bit too intense.
That's the AB.
When Obama pretty much put that into place to where it not decriminalized, but it pretty much said that the feds couldn't go.
It was focus on. And tell me if this is wrong when I say it, but it stops the local police from communicating with the feds. It's kind of what I got from it. So even if the local police are told, like, hey, this dude's selling blah 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 blah, they can't go to the feds.
Got bigger problems.
And say,
hey, got bigger problems.
Yeah,
exactly. And then, like, which, piggybacking off what you said, you're saying that, you know, Trump is creating a whole nother war on drugs. Mm-hmm. Once he got into office, he had Jeff Sessions rescind the Cole memo.
There it is. And
that's the facts of what you were saying.
The war on drugs, man. Right. It's the war on drugs. It's putting black people away. It is. And that's a cold hard fact. I was gonna say, you wanna give AP Red, yes, absolutely.
Alright.
PZ get read some crazy shit to me.
It's just ridiculous.
Earlier. And I had heard this statistic before. And when I first heard it, I was like, wow, that's like insane.
So we're gonna start off by talking about just the cost of an ounce before the war on drugs.
Yes.
So and this book is from the Cannabis Manifesto by Steve D'Angelo, the owner of Harborside Dispensary in the town. Mm-hmm. So it says, before it was illegal, ounces of weed sold for less than $5. The first ounce I bought in 1971 cost me $15. After President Reagan declared the war on drugs, the price went above 100 for the first time. Today, with that war more than 30 years old and more Americans than ever consuming cannabis, an ounce of top quality weed costs about $500 in New York. This is crazy. So the war on drugs increased the price. So it's a money thing. Mm-hmm. It adds up to at least $22.5 billion a year. And then it goes on to talk about just the statistics. It says black people in the United States consume cannabis at about the same rate as white people.
Same rate.
But FBI and state databases show that blacks consistently suffer higher rates of arrest for possession of cannabis than do whites in every single one of 50 states. Nationwide, African Americans suffer a marijuana arrest rate 4 times higher than whites. They say, it goes on to say, 15 times as many African Americans are arrested for cannabis possession in Chicago as white people, and 40 times as many are convicted. In New York, almost 9 out of 10 people arrested for possession were black or Latino. They say, in the nation's capital, the sacred symbols of democracy preside over a city where 91% of people are arrested for cannabis are black. And at a time when the African American population of the city is shrinking. We can keep going. While the United States accounts for just 5% of the world's total population, our prisons hold 25% of the world's prisoners. We lock a greater percentage of our population than any other country on earth.
Say that one more time. We are 5%, ladies and gentlemen, of the world's population.
The world's population.
And 25% of our population.
World prisoners.
World prisoners. It's crazy. Is us.
It's us.
That's fucking insane. That's so crazy. That's so crazy. Like, I want to put that on a t-shirt and just walk around.
Well, nah, seriously.
And with signs and just like, really, like, open your eyes, folks.
100%.
Like, this is insane, dog. Crazy.
And it says there's a lot more, but I'll just go on to say just a couple of more things. It says almost 2/3 of people arrested for cannabis are under the age of 25, and 1/3 are teenagers. In 1998, the U.S. Congress tried to reverse the trend by voting to deny or delay financial aid to students who have been convicted of drug offenses. At least 200,000 students lost aid, mostly because of cannabis convictions.
That's That's crazy.
So you mean to tell me I got caught? I mean, everybody experiments, and I'm pretty sure police officers has as well in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I got caught smoking a little blunt. Now I can't go to college. I'm low income. Yeah. I don't have any money. My parents don't have any jobs.
Right.
A job, or their job doesn't allow them to pay for my college. Now I'm just a sitting duck. I can't do anything but get a job at McDonald's. And not to say that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, but I can't see myself as being anything better than that. Because a little toke of weed. It's a problem, y'all.
Yeah, it really is.
It's an issue.
It really is. That is, those number folks. And I, if I'm you, listeners, I'm running that back.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hit the rewind, listen to the numbers one more time, and at least pass that shit on to somebody you
For
know.
Real.
Pass that on to somebody you know, because that's the type of information that we're here to give, and we want to give to the people. Like, it's important for people to know that.
100%.
You know what I mean?
And sorry to cut you off, but if this is what it is,
mm-hmm.
then, I mean, obviously, we need to be aware of this and come to fucking gather, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, facts show in so many different ways, whether you believe in numbers, whether you believe in visual, what you see.
Mm-hmm.
It supports that this shit is set up for all of us to fucking fail and to die from ailments and sicknesses that can be cured through...
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Like, come on. We need, you know, I'm not going to go on my rant, you know, but this...
go in on that.
I'm not going on my rant because, you know, I get mad at just the fact that, you know, we can't, you know, it's just like we can't do anything to where, you know, we come together and, I mean, because we outnumber a majority of the people and we outnumber, not, we don't really outnumber, you know, the other... culture, but in terms of spending, we outnumber everybody. We spend the most money. Black people do.
Mm-hmm.
For years and years and years. It's facts. You know what I mean? So we control this shit.
Yeah.
We do, bro. Mm-hmm. All this machine that's going on is continuing because of us and our spending habits, the money we spend.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together. Create a group. Create a unit. Or y'all spending each other, you're spending money amongst each other. Then y'all can connect with another unit like us and spend money amongst each other. Yeah. Where we stop spending shit on it, all this.
Man. That's that whole all money in concept.
You know what I mean?
Shout out Nip.
Nip, what's happening? Come
all
through.
All money in. Right. Yeah, slide. We need him on the show. Yeah. You know what I mean? Who else we need on the show, P?
Man, I don't want to say his name wrong, but you know, he's an advocate for CBD. Used to play for the St. Louis Rams. He's gonna come through and
we don't gotta him. Give him the name yet.
We don't have to.
We don't all have. Right. We can let them. You know what I mean? You gotta stay tuned in, man.
100%.
We just met, so you know.
Yeah.
Telling y'all everything that we. Yeah. That we got going on in this place. Yeah.
You ain't gonna take us to Applebee's,
right? And, no, don't.
And happy hour thing. Yeah. Gonna get.
Be a little bit more important than that.
Excuse Bless me. You.
Thank you. Yeah, so kind of circling back to, you know, the criminalization of marijuana and things like that. So let's say, you know, now you've been convicted and you're being put in these prisons, these private owned prisons. And dang, I wish I would have wrote down the name of the companies that fund these, that like pretty much is the motor to how these private prisons are functioning. But these places are not better for the criminals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mind you, you know, people get caught in this whole complex, well, they're prisoners, blah blah blah, and think like, you know, they should be treated like animals. But like, what people fail to forget is that these are supposed to be rehabilitation. Like, you're supposed to go to prison to get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now you're putting away these people for something like marijuana. They're going to prison. Maybe they weren't even criminals.
For real.
They were just a motherfucker that just wanted to get high because his job was stressful. 100%. Now he's in prison, and what happens? He becomes a better criminal. He learns all these different things. He gets out, and now because of how our justice system is set up, he can't get a job because he has a felony. You know what I mean? He's been convicted of, you know, it just looks like he had some dope.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
You know, it doesn't say, like, you know, you had some weed and you were headed to your girlfriend's house.
Nah,
like,
for real.
You know what I mean? You just got convicted of a drug charge. Mm-hmm. That's all people see. So now you can't get a job. You know what I mean? So what do? You turn to criminal. You know what I mean? You got a family to feed 100%. And things like that. So you turn to these outlets, and then you find yourself right back in prison.
100%.
You know what I mean? You find yourself right back in prison, and then it's like a revolving door. You're in and out, and all these funder, these people funding these private prisons is eating off you. You know what I mean? And like the truth behind these private prisons is they're poorly run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they have a higher rate of like misconduct and things like that in these prisons. Higher percentage of like a raid or something crazy happening within the prison. You know, things like disease and things like that, and the way that they're being cared for is last place in that regard, you know, to other prisons. And it's just poorly ran.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's just a money thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get as many people as we can in these prisons, and then we will profit from it. You know what I mean? And another thing, going back to Trump, like him, you know, restarting that war on drugs was never really stopped, you know, just kind of continuing it. But that's kind of also too the whole thing with these immigrants. You know what I mean? Like we have laws that, like, if your ass is an immigrant, you over here, we gonna throw you in one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We gotta throw you in one of the private prisons. We can't put you in a state run prison because you don't have rights. You're not a American citizen, mm-hmm. so we can't take care of you in a state facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that's where we send in these immigrants. That's why it's kind of a war on the immigrants as well. Mm-hmm. And these people coming into the country, it's a little bit of him hating the immigrants.
No, seriously.
But a lot of it too is because these people who are running these prisons, these are the people that are paying for Trump and paying for, that's, you know what I mean? The NRA and all these people, they're all tied in together. And that's a reason why these things, why Trump can't just be like, oh, hey, weed is legal. You know what I mean? Because it's like, he'd be fucking up his own
weed. Yeah, you got a lot, you know, of people. Yeah,
just banging on the fact, yeah, like, yeah. Nah, man, we need people going to prison for marijuana charges and doing heavy-ass time. And we need to get rid of these immigrants and stuff like that.
That's crazy, bro, when you say about the immigrants, because you remember we were reading something earlier about, you know, just how marijuana became illegal in general.
Right.
And the facts behind that is...
Right.
It's a Mexican thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Mexican immigrants who came here. And in America, they knew it as cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Mexican came in, it was known as marijuana. And I guess just perception-wise, a lot of us viewed the Mexicans as being, you know, crazy, high likely that these people are violent. And it was caused by this stuff that they were smoking. Mm-hmm. Which was marijuana. It wasn't marijuana. It was marijuana to them, you know. So that led to discussions about the criminalization of, you know, this plant called cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, called cannabis or marijuana.
And you were saying that that Americans at the time thought, like, it was giving the Mexicans some kind of special power to make them more violent and stuff like that.
It's crazy.
And it was probably complete opposite.
Bruh, for chilling. They chill.
They probably spared a couple of white folks just being lit, huh? Just like killing them gringos.
Hey, you ever had a taco home?
Yeah, like,
you know?
Right. Come here, fool. We're not going to hurt you.
It's just fucking meat and tortillas, man.
Yeah. Right. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, this shit is crazy. And it goes back to the immigrants that you were talking about.
And right. And it's like, that's my thing that I always say. Like, things really don't ever change.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're different. You know what I mean? They evolve. You know, we all know evolution is real. I mean, if you're fucking wise, I mean, if you're
100%.
Up to date on 2018, you know evolution is a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, like, for... That parallel, those two things, like, happening today, like it being a war on the immigrants, and then like it was probably a war on them back then as well.
Shit's cold, bro.
You know, it's crazy. And I'm just gonna throw it out there. I'm just kind of a wild guess. I don't know how true it is, but I imagine it was kind of the same thing with the Native Americans if they was chiefing.
Now,
you know what I mean? Like
now we going on something.
Right.
We're going to what we
saying,
people? I don't know. I mean, because they say, you know, the Native Americans, you know, this was their land, California.
Oh yeah. All of America was their land.
Exactly.
Well, no, Europeans just dropped off here. Exactly. Like, yeah, bro.
So, with that being said, right. I mean, why wouldn't they, like, say immigrants and all these people, you know, mm-hmm. were bad for, you know, America and to criminalize them, you know, is because it's a fear factor, you know, when you conquer or when you
that
do
was their
like,
media then.
Yeah.
That was the media then. That was our social media, all of that, and mm-hmm. telling these people, like, hey, Indians are bad.
Bad, yeah.
And, like, Mexicans are bad, mm-hmm. things like that. Like,
and the Native Americans were, we all know, they were black. They were Mexicans and they were black.
Mm-hmm.
And Mexicans are black. You know, I mean, there's parts, I mean, when you look the DNA of everything, mm-hmm. you know, it goes to, and but that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I bet you there was some warfare. I mean, I know that the gold rush wasn't completely about gold. Like, we couldn't have been the first ones to know, like, okay, there's marijuana grows great here in California.
No,
like, they knew
you.
That. Yeah. So, like, I think about, like, the gold rush and things like that, and I was like, was it other things? Because I know the gold rush also was for the cowboys were killing off Indians mm-hmm. and taking their scalps, and they were getting paid from that.
Mm.
You know, it was a plan to, you know, get rid of Indians. Mm. So they were inviting people, hey, come out here and kill Indians and we'll pay you.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? Like, that was part of the gold rush as well. It's like the part of it they don't tell you. So a small part of me almost wants to feel like, well, maybe marijuana was one of the things people were seeking too, coming out this way. They just don't really talk about it because they don't tell us the truth in history books, right? But I mean, that's just a wild guess on my
part. No, like, but I mean, if you look at the core of everything and you connect the dots, that assumption ain't wow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I doubt people just weren't using marijuana.
Nah, for real.
At that time.
I mean, what was everything they were smoking in that pipe? Was it tobacco?
Nah, I can't. There had to be some tree in there. Some they was hallucinating and shit. Like, you know, they was just really, really high. That's what was going on.
Chilling, man.
Big chilling.
That's just crazy, man. There's a lot of controversy behind, like, this plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cannabis, marijuana. There's a lot, and the reason it has to be a reason. Anything that there's controversy behind are, when they try to hide anything, when they try to hide the truth, like, there's power behind it.
Yeah. Or when they're using it against us, like how they're using it against black folks. Like, mm-hmm. They like smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
We can put a lot of black people away.
In jail.
For smoking weed.
And that is exactly what is going mm-hmm. on, man. I mean, we talk about, like, honestly, us as a people, I mean, bro, we deal with so, not that, okay. I mean, I don't even want to walk through that.
You shouldn't even have to make an excuse for smoking weed.
That's I know. I mean, because, like, it's my medicine.
Yeah. You shouldn't even have to. Like, regardless, like, yeah, you grew up. If you grew up in a, you know, in a situation that caused PTSD, you know, your homie's dying. Or,
right. That's a big thing.
Losing family.
That's a big thing.
Absolutely. But even if that's not your story, you still shouldn't be able to. You still shouldn't have to explain.
Nah, that's the
because of the economic, the environmental, and the medicinal positives behind this plant. When you break it down and you look at the statistics of what it could do for us economically, environmentally,
mm-hmm.
and medicinally,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can bring in so much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We can create so much space in our prisons. We can heal so many people. You know what I mean? Yet, we have to explain, like you said, oh shit, like, I got busted with some tree. Like, you know what I mean? I'm doing a hard time for some tree. I gotta explain, like, you know,
I'm not even
a tough time in my life. Like, no, you shouldn't have to.
I'm not even built for jail.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get lit.
This shit is crazy, man, and it's just so unbalanced, bro. Mm-hmm. On, you know, like what's literally right and what's like wrong. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it's just so unbalanced, and then what's wrong is actually right. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just there's a bunch of confusion, you know, that's going on right now. You know, we can go into just like the research of cannabis right now. Like, okay, America, we know we can't research and go into detail with cannabis because federally it's illegal. And we can even go into, you know, what we read about that letter that was sent to the DEA about how or why, you know, marijuana is still scheduled, even though it's like the lowest of a Schedule 5, is because of this treaty, mm-hmm. you know, that's in place.
Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that. I think episode 3.
Episode 3?
Mm-hmm. We talked about it.
You know, and it's like, for that situation to even be a part of, you know, not allowing like this, now it's pretty much impossible for us to do it because there's a document that prevents us. If we do certain things, then we go against our treaty. Mm-hmm. And this treaty could possibly be massive, which could, you know, stop certain trade, or, you know, it could stop us from our military from being posted in this certain, who fucking knows, you know what I mean? It prevents all these things. So it's like, what is going on? You know what I mean? Like, I know, we know what's going on, but what is really going on? And it's sad to say that these things are so massive, and, you know, these powers and these political people are at such high levels that us like this who have a full understanding of it are just ants.
Yeah. We're expendable. Very expendable.
Period, bro.
Very expendable.
And it sucks to know. Like, it's...
Especially being black.
Bruh.
Especially being black. You know, especially when you hear those numbers and you just realize, like, you're just not really wanted here and you're just, like you said, expendable. You know what I mean?
It's heartbreaking.
And I think it's a lot deeper. Like, you know, people think of systematic racism, or a lot of people don't think of it. But, you know, people who think of it, they think it's just like, oh, we don't like black people. And, like, it's so much deeper than that. It's so much 100%. Deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It's a fear of, you know, shared control. Mm-hmm. It's a want to keep the powers that be, mm-hmm. you know, who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, keep America fucking white. Let's just be real.
They're not great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They keep America white. Like, mm-hmm. that's this whole thing. And what's crazy is a lot of these people who are on the other side of this and, like, just think, like, you know, still on the whole Nancy Reagan, like, just say no and all drugs is bad thing. People on that side, like, they're fucking up the world for our kids, mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, they don't realize, like, the damage that is being done with their beliefs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the damage that is being done is directly to black people.
100%.
Directly. So you don't have to be like, I hate black people, to be a fucking racist. Mm-hmm. You could just stand for this, mm-hmm. and be okay with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And that makes you racist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you're letting these people be oppressed,
yep.
Through the justice system.
Yeah. And you it's know like, what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, you know, like you said, they anticipated, like, you know, what marijuana was going to be for people like us. So they did, you know, slap this law that says, you know, you can't have it and stuff. And then, you know, knowing that people of, you know, lower status are more likely to use, because, I mean, it is cost efficient. You know, I mean, it's within our reach in terms of what we can afford. you know, and just knowing that that is something that we are going to use, you know.
And the profitability, like it's, you know, how profitable it is, you know.
Man, they're predicting, what, CBD to, what, $22 billion? Marijuana in general in the billions? All this stuff is, and I went to, just talking about the money, I went to this conference and they were saying there's this New Frontier company and they do all the statistics behind marijuana. And there's not much out there right now because it's still a new business. But they were saying that, like, even these numbers that we're predicting right now are, they're just really, really low because there's different markets that are untapped. And he gave an example of, like, weddings. Like, weddings are worth, like, $72 billion right now. When you think about a wedding, you think about an alcohol bar. But now, slowly but surely, these people are turning bars into fucking marijuana bars, bruh. Spending $15,000, bruh, to have a marijuana bar at a wedding. And this ain't even tapped into yet.
You need to get into that.
You know, you know what I mean? I'm just, it's just, when you say money, it's just like, bruh, this shit is not even like, it ain't even started yet.
Right.
It has not even started yet.
And because black people, you know what I mean, we've been the cornerstone for, I mean, maybe not the cornerstone, but because it's so largely used in our communities and things like that, like, there's people who have a handle on it because either you was moving it illegally, you know what I mean, or you were using it recreationally, but, like, it's embedded in our culture, you know what I mean? So, like, there's no, of course, that it's going to be black people who are profiting off of it with these different types of businesses because we've had it in our culture. It's in our DNA.
For years.
You know what I mean? For years.
You think of Louis Armstrong, you know, Coltrane, all these great musicians. They was high.
Yeah.
Weed.
Smoking trees.
And what they said back then was that it literally brought, like, in a time where there was, like, segregation, boom.
Yeah.
You connect with a joint of weed.
It's like that today. That's why I look at the uniqueness of California. I've smoked with all kinds of different white folks, Asians, Mexicans. Like, I've smoked with so many different types of people. And then I got homies on the flip side, you know, out in, you know, Atlanta.
Real shit.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't be smoking with white boys. Like, I don't be smoking with white people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, for real. Real shit. Like, my partner from Florida. That shit's unheard of to him.
Damn.
You know, like, just the whole, like, you know, because segregation, like, you know, it's still a thing.
It's a real thing, yeah.
Like, it's still a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you go to the South, it's still around. Mm-hmm. You know, when you in the white people part of town, when you in the black folks part 100%. Of town. Like, it is what it is. But, like, the whole bringing people together, like, that shit is so, so real.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to kind of switch gears here, I wanted to ask you another question because, you know, we just kind of we went in on that whole last little segment.
Mm-hmm.
But should they legalize weed in prisons? You know what I mean? What if,
good one, bro.
What if these prisoners were allowed to smoke weed? And it was like one of those things where it was like, it's a privilege you can lose. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's gonna create a trade. Like, just like cigarettes, they gonna be in there, you know, because cats go to prison. Like, people think when you go to prison, like, people forget, like, cats still be in there having businesses and stuff like that in prison, like, trying to get their chips. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a whole nother world. So you add marijuana, obviously, there's gonna be people willing and dealing. You know what I mean? And that's gonna go on. That's gonna come with it. But, like, shit, if I'm working at a prison, I'm gonna feel a whole lot better about these niggas being loaded as shit. You know what I mean? I'm gonna feel a whole lot better, like, you know what I mean? Some shit pop off.
You don't think niggas are gonna be shanking niggas over Twinkies and shit, though, bro? Like, nigga, I'm hungry, cuz, give me a seat.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah. I'm just fucking with it.
I mean, I mean, yeah, that shit is going to happen. You know, like, at the end of the day. But, you know, what is there going to be a more positive, like,
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Like, I totally
is the it is. Is the pros, you know, overshadowing the cons?
I totally think it is, bro. 100%.
Like, how do you see that playing out?
I think that it plays out in any everything but positive, bro. Everything. No, everything positive.
Yeah.
Everything but negative, I should say, bro. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that, I mean, there's a lot of different spectrums to me when I think about prison. You know, you got these cats who want to be in prison to, you know, prove themselves in the whatever they are on the streets or whatever to give them a little bit more clout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the willers and dealers who are in there using manipulative tactics,
mm-hmm.
you know, who've been, you know, to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the, you know, the people who just got caught up on some. At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of these people, I've seen even me smoking with all these people, bruh. When you do that, bruh, you talk about other things, bruh. Yeah. Other than violence or, you know, the things that got you in there,
yeah,
bruh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
even
yeah.
if you are talking about that, it's in like a comedic, like a comedic and connecting mm-hmm. form, you know yeah. what I mean? It's not like, you know, like going at you, you know what right. I mean? It reserves you, bro. It calms your nerves. And then not only that, bro, like you're more like it,
and they can orchestrate that. This is how far we've come with cannabis. And you know, let me just say, cannabis has been made legal for over 300 million Americans in the past couple, like, that's, you know, it's a significant amount of people, but they're able to dose it. Like, imagine if
that is a good
we're
point.
Able to, now you are able to control it. Right. And I'm not saying that
yeah.
we let these niggas smoke.
Yeah.
You know what
That's
I mean?
That's crazy. They talk about those nano
Here's
doses.
Here's your cookie. Like, yeah. boom. Be really loaded. Like, I need him to have an 100 milligram because he is acting a fucking ass right now. Give him this 100 milligram cookie and let his ass just be high for like 6 hours.
Bro, you started, you put a curriculum with that.
Right.
A reading, or you got to do this.
They can do all kinds of just, you know what I mean? Get the most dangerous, the most unwilling to comply motherfucker in prison and just feed him indica.
A certain dosage of yeah. Damn.
And just see where he at. You know what I mean? Like, let's see if he still wants to throw shit at us when we come into his cell. He'll be like, shit, nigga, I put all my... He gonna be so lit. I put all of my illegal shit I know I'm not supposed to have right there for y'all so y'all ain't have to go all through my shit. You know what I mean? Like,
just hurry up,
yeah, man. Yeah, I just put it all right there for y'all, man. You ain't gotta go through my room. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I stand up, bro. Here. You gonna cuff me? All right, man. Let me put more. You know what I mean? He just gonna be so blitzed. You know? And then just for your comment, just like, I'm in prison. I know what I did was wrong. I'm here to just do my time. Well, you know, if he can afford it, let him just get blasted. You know what I mean?
That's interesting, man.
I thought about it. I really thought about it while I was doing all this research. I was like, I wonder if they legalized it in prison. But, you know, that would be kind of crazy. Like, if you went to prison for marijuana and then you get into prison, it's like, this shit legal here.
Right. So they would have to decriminalize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they would have to. Mm-hmm. That would be way in the crazy future when that happens. When, like, everybody's enlightened on, you know. And even, I'm sure, in you know, when we were talking about the private prisons and, like, the you know, it's more diseased and things like that, like, there's all kinds of sicknesses I'm sure they can cure with CBD
mm-hmm.
in the prisons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, these guys who are super old and they're having arthritis. So, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like the wear and tear mm-hmm. and of being old. And it's like, you know, give them some CBD.
For real.
You know?
Help out with that ASG.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's that's crazy, man. That's a great thought, B, bro.
Yeah.
That is a great thought.
Shit, the feds listening. They like, oh, shit.
Yeah, these niggas, man. I mean, honestly, bro.
Man.
I mean, you gotta be careful with this.
Whatever, man. They can come. Tell them boys come from me.
Wow, that's interesting. No, that's a good. That's good.
Right yeah, there. That was this.
That's a good. That's a great thought.
Mm-hmm. But what was I gonna say? In that regard, you know, they already do. They already smoke weed in prison.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, if you've known mm-hmm. ever known anybody, we both have the unfortunate luxury of knowing somebody who's been to prison. My niggas be in there really be loaded. Like, I ain't gonna say no names. To,
me either.
To people. But how many times this nigga called you and was like, "Yeah, shit, yeah, nigga, I smoke. We smoke. We sipping a little bit right
bro,
now."
Bro,
like,
my cousin, it's just crazy, bro. My cousin from down south talking about he was gonna sell a pee to somebody in jail.
How?
That's it.
So know. Crazy. But that's what's so, you know, that's another thing that, like, just kind of getting off topic a little bit. But, like, the how creative prisoners' minds are, bro. You know what I mean? When you're put in that situation and how your brain responds to it, like, these motherfuckers be getting so creative in the way they be getting shit in there. Like, how is niggas in there really just smoking tree? Yeah, I just hit the what? That's my nigga used to tell me. Yeah, hit the weed earlier. Shit, we sipping right now. Sipping what? What happened?
That pronoun.
How y'all niggas sipping right now? What pronoun. You mean? Like, he said it like it was a function I could pull up at or something too. Like, shit, we here. Yeah, we here sipping, bro.
What you trying to do?
Hey, shout out my nigga though, man.
Yeah, this real, bro. And it be they do it the real people.
Niggas be in there taking pictures. Yeah, they be on the gram.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Stunting, like, yeah. And doing the captions, like, you know, a nigga still out here balling. Yeah. Like, I feel you, bro. You got to keep that though.
Yeah,
because nah, I would.
You got to. I will say, like, my niggas that did some time. They're the most confident individuals I've ever met. Like, there's no doubt in their minds. Like, they can do some of the things that they be talking about. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And a lot of it is, like, bells and whistles and things like that. But, like, you know, I kind of got partners on both sides of the spectrum. I got one who did it, everything. He came out and was like, this is what I'm going to do, blah, blah, blah. He did it. And I got my other partner that, like, he had all these plans and things like that. But really, like I said, it was just kind of like, sounded good, but she didn't really execute it. You know what I mean? But it's the confidence. It's the confidence that, you know, is coming off of him. Yeah. Like, shit. Like, I got this going. I could do this. Like, I was talking to so-and-so. I was locked up about this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a little off topic. Nah, but, like,
it's all related in some form or fashion.
Right. I do think that cannabis in that regard and with the prisons, things like that, is just another avenue that it could directly affect and, you know, create better situations in prison. Because, like I said, prison is for rehabilitation. You're supposed to go there, get better, get out, do better, and never go back.
I think motherfuckers would be like, hey, cuz, I'm finna hit this lick, right? And then I'm finna be smoking weed for 2 years straight.
Man. Right. I'm gonna just be in the pen getting loaded. And that's another
they got
scary cookies, thing too.
They got blue, they got all the top strains, cuz, but you know you gotta hit it out of a bone. No, you can't, no backwoods.
Yeah, they don't let you out of backwoods. Yeah. A nigga made a shank out of the tobacco, bro. Yeah, it should be wild.
That, it was a lot.
You right though, because there are those people. No, like, there's this documentary on Netflix called Killers, I think, and it just talks about like the all. Or maybe it's called death. I forget. But it talks about people who go to death row.
The mentality of them.
And just the different stories, their last meal, and like just different shit. But this one cat killed his roommate just because he was like, man, I'm just trying to go to death row. Like, he was already in there serving life. Like, not serving life, but he was in there. He had a long sentence. And he was just like, I just would rather not spend the rest of my days in prison. Like, I'd rather know when they're gonna take me out. So he just killed his roommate, just strangled his ass, and like put him on death row. So it's like, the reason, my point being is, like, there are people who lack structure and things like that in their life and don't have a purpose and things like that, and they would look at that prison like, damn, I can go to prison, I can smoke hella weed, You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Be a barber.
No,
I see. Or whatever, you know what I mean? And that'd just be my life. And, like, I never have to worry about making my own bed. I never have to worry about...
Yeah, I mean, because that's the fact about it, bro. Especially with people who don't have nothing, is that they get food and mm-hmm. you know, a pillow to lay on, bro. Mm-hmm. And that's sad to say, but, you know, that is the truth about it.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, so that would be interesting. I would love to hear somebody who kind of directs... prison population and things like that, and kind of give insight on how that would actually play out, mm-hmm. like simulate how would that play out if marijuana was legal in the prisons. But nonetheless, I think we kind of tapped in on everything that we really, really wanted to, as far as cannabis, in politics, cannabis in our justice system. Mm-hmm. Shout out AP, man. He gave y'all some really valuable shit. Make sure you run this episode back and listen to those numbers and share them. All right, share them. Share the podcast. Not because we want more listeners. Of course, we want more listeners, but share the podcast because this is valuable information. And P, you probably heard this guy's name, Earl Blumenauer. He's a real activist, pro cannabis, one of the front runners, but he said something in this documentary I was watching, and just about the whole forwarding of cannabis. He was saying, don't get comfortable, you know what I mean? Like, continue to push, as far as trying to get cannabis to be legal in all 50 states and things like that, and be used to save lives and things like that. But we cannot get comfortable and feel like, man, we winning right now, like it's legal here and here, like everybody else will kind of just come along and it'll all work out, because we get assholes like Donald Trump in office who are trying to, you know, throw shade on our plan. So don't get comfortable. If you know enough, then your partners don't know enough. You need to be passing that on. And if you can use us as a vessel for that information, use cognitive cannabis.
100%.
We okay with
that. Yeah, we here for you, man. And like we always say, bro, we ain't out here talking in ways to make y'all feel like we think we know everything. We just out here, you know, 100% on top of everything. But we are on our shit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Like we say, call in, you know, email in, you know, give us your feedback, like our podcast pages, you know, even give us some insight on topics that you guys would like us to maybe put our minds to.
Absolutely.
You know, all of these things, man, let's just keep it a community base. You know, we look at people like you guys as family, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, let's keep this thing going. And, you know, it was a pleasure, man. We got a website coming out, CBD website called CBD Cure. You know,
CBD Cure.
It's it has a lot of ailments that are going on right now, and you know, you can specifically look at that ailment, and it'll show you the CBD products that will help you with that ailment. A lot of information. You know, we got our podcast on there.
What kind of products are we gonna be having?
We have some olive oil if you know want to get your cook on with CBD. We have tinctures, we have oils, we have topicals, we have distillates, everything that you can think of, man. And it's all laboratory tested. So we know these products are, you know, actually quality. They're quality products.
And you'll know what you're putting in your body.
You know what you're putting in your body, and that we correlated exactly with a specific need that you need. So
yeah,
be on the lookout for that.
Man. You want to also shout out 10 Collective.
10
AP.
Yes, sir.
The president himself. We're very lucky to have him here. I'm very lucky to know him.
Yes, sir. So we got the delivery service, you know, based in Silicon Valley, with all the top cannabis products that you can think of. Man, we're doing great things in the business right now. Black owned, you know, not that that matters, but we are proud of it.
Oh, it matters.
100%, for sure.
It matters.
Yeah, dude, that's
cool. But just to be clear, CBD Cure, we we know is non-psychoactive. You could be part of the cannabis culture and not be getting stoned and not be getting high and feel like you're, you know what I mean? Like, some, we will say there are some, you know, diseases and there are some things that require high dosage of CBD and THC. You know what I mean? There are those, but what the idea behind CBD Cure is that we offer things for healing that, you know, you can kind of keep, you know, your clear mind. If not, getting high is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, and it doesn't even have to be a disease or a disorder some kind of sickness. It's just if you're looking for, you know, just to be better.
100%.
CBD is real big there. And then Tenko, obviously, is the other side of that. Mm-hmm. Extremely psychoactive. You will get extremely high based on, you know,
blaze.
Clouds. You know what I mean?
All top quality,
everything though. You need, man. Mm-hmm. Everything you need. So if you're in the Bay Area, go ahead and tap in with Ten Collective. Mm-hmm. Follow him on Instagram as well.
Yes, sir.
Ten, T-E-N, right? Not the number. T-E-N.
So it's T-E-N underscore collective. On Instagram.
On Instagram, there it is.
And then on WeMaps is 10 Collective.
There it is. There it is. We'll also have some merchandise for you with the Cognitive Collective logo. Which brings me to another thing y'all have to do. This is a lot of we're giving you a lot of activities that you need to do after you finish up with us. Also follow the Cognitive Cannabis Instagram. Mm-hmm. CC Podcast 4, all right? That's the Instagram tag, at CC Podcast 4. Go ahead, give us a follow. You can ask any questions right there on the Instagram if you want. We respond to everything. And also, too, we're trying to figure out our new logo. So the first post on that Instagram, if you go to the Instagram, you'll see the post. It's numbered. Comment on which logo you like the most, or if you want to submit a logo, do that for us too. We all for it. So, and there will also be a cognitive cannabis website coming soon, and you know, so you guys can kind of get to know me and Peasy a little bit better. I think we covered everything we wanted to.
Yes, sir.
Cover.
Yes, sir.
I hope y'all digging the intros, man. If you're not listening to the intros, go back and play them shits, man. I'm having too much fun, you know what I mean, messing around with that. I'm trying to give y'all that good hip-hop and a good feel before you vibe with us.
Vibes.
You know what I'm saying? All positive vibes.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
So go ahead. Let me know how you like those as well. You got anything else for the people, man?
Nah, that's up. Much love to y'all, man. We enjoy doing this. We look forward to talking to y'all, man. Like I said, man, let's make this an interactive thing. Let's go back and forth. And, you know, let's keep this thing going.
Yep. We up on every platform now, too. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor app. Did I say Google? Google Podcast. What else? Radio Talk. Man, we up on a bunch of different platforms. So, you know. Whatever you share us to, you know. Yeah.
And those platforms will be on our Instagram, so you can click
on through. On the CC Podcast 4. All right, y'all. Episode 4 in the books. Thank you for hanging out with us. We love y'all. All the support that y'all have been giving us is love, man. We really, really appreciate it, and we'll keep getting smarter so we can keep giving you guys this good information.
100%. Peace.
Yep. Out of here.
Get the fuck out!